Thank you for watching, everyone. For our latest Artemis Live video interview, I'm delighted to welcome Marissa Savage from PwC. So Marissa's a partner in the PwC Bermuda Insurance Practice, as well as leader of the PwC Actuarial Services Practice for the Caribbean region. But today we're going to be focusing on what is really a very hot topic for the industry, and this is Marissa's other role as the ESG leader for PwC Bermuda. So ESG is a particularly hot topic right now, not just for the Bermuda insurance, reinsurance and insurance-linked securities market, but globally. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing Marissa's thoughts on this important subject. Welcome, Marissa. It's really good to speak with you today.
Thanks, Steve. I really appreciate the time that we're going to spend together today.
Sure. So to begin, perhaps you could explain what ESG means to you and also to your work at PwC in Bermuda.
Sure. So obviously there's what ESG stands for, being environmental, social, and governance. And I think for me, it's really the focus on the E right now, the environmental side of things, given the climate emergency that the world is facing and the, you know, dire need to transition to a low carbon economy. So I think that's where I really see the focus being, and I hope the world does too. But that being said, in doing that and in focusing on that just carbon transition and things like that, there is a big impact on the social side of things. So what does that mean for, you know, equity in emerging economies, or when you look at job loss and job creation, moving away from high paying oil and gas jobs to perhaps jobs in solar and wind, which may not be as lucrative. So I think that's what I think about when thinking about ESG. As far as our work at PwC, obviously we are a trust and solutions based organization. That is our value proposition. And on the trust side, that's going to mean delivering assurance on ESG reporting matters. As standards come out, they're going to be requiring assurance, and we are well placed to provide that assurance for our clients. On the solution side of things, working with clients on ESG strategy, on evaluating governance frameworks and things like that. So our work can cover both those areas.
And I guess very busy at this point in time as well, as ESG seems to be a hot topic, both on the investment side, where perhaps it flowed in much more naturally to the industry, but also now on the underwriting side as well, which must get very interesting too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's affecting both sides of the balance sheet for the sector.
And it's obviously really very important and mentioned in pretty much every earnings call that we listen to these days. But what is the current state of play on ESG adoption in the Bermuda reinsurance and the ILS market, if you have a view there as well?
Yeah, sure. So I'll take that sort of in two sides. The first being, you know, what are companies doing to sort of move the ESG needle? So I think most big players, you can see when you talk about the underwriting side of things, they're making commitments, say by 2030, to stop underwriting coal-fired projects or other carbon-intensive exposures. And they're also looking at the investment side of their balance sheet to look at the mandates they have for their advisors to make sure that what they're investing in is, you know, ESG friendly and that kind of thing. So I think those are the two areas that companies are really looking at to evolve in and to make their mark on the ESG side of things. That all being said, the regulators have very much clued into the need for comparability in reporting demanded by stakeholders. So we have a lot of regulation coming down the pipe, which is affecting insurers and reinsurers in Bermuda. So the one closest to home is the BMA's guidance, which is called the Management of Climate Risk Guidance Note that came out in August of 2022. And that is actually effective now. So companies are working on their year-end CISAs and BSERs and all of that kind of thing, and they're having to include that guidance in their responses. However, they have until 2025 to be fully compliant. So it will be an evolving compliance matter as things change and move forward. I also think on the BMA side of things that this guidance note is not one and done. We will see more coming out of the BMA, and I think they will start to look at the TCFD, which is the Task Force for Climate-Related Disclosure, as a basis for reporting as well, like we see in some of the other standard setters. So moving away further afield from Bermuda, those insurance and reinsurance companies that have a US nexus that are either a direct SEC filer or a significant subsidiary of a SEC filer are going to fall into the net of the SEC's proposed disclosure requirements. And those came out in 2022 as well for exposure or comment. My understanding is the SEC had hoped to have those pieces of guidance out by the end of 2022, but the, you know, the feedback was voluminous and they're having to work through that process, and we don't have any formal guidance issued as of yet. But there's a lot there, and companies need to start looking at what is there and how are they going to meet all of those requirements. On the international side, oh, sorry, go ahead, Steve.
No, I was just going to say, it sounds like it's getting incredibly complex in terms of managing the different requirements from different regulators.
Absolutely. The cost of compliance is not getting less expensive. It's getting more expensive, and you're having to invest in headcount to deal with those new areas. And it's also affecting the international side. So even if you're not an SEC filer, if you were reporting under international financial reporting standards, there's a new entity created under the IFRS called the International Sustainability Standards Board, and they've issued two exposure drafts in 2022 as well, one covering more general sustainability and one focused on climate specifically. Again, they were hoping to have those out by the end of 2022, and that hasn't happened yet because of all the feedback, and they're working through that, but we will expect to see those come out sometime during 2023, and they will require a lot of work to comply with as well.
Interesting that you mentioned sort of disclosure around climate specifically as well there, that's coming from regulators. Do you think potentially that could drive some need for additional risk transfer in future, or just for a better, clearer approach to how you manage that within your business?
Yeah, I think more the clearer approach of how you're going to manage it. And I think it's really about this whole sort of carbon footprint and carbon offset kind of thing, and buying carbon credits, or can you really reduce, you know, what you're using and what you're creating? That being said, there will be disclosures about physical risk and transition risk. And if a company is particularly exposed in those areas, they may be looking for some, you know, solution in insurance or capital markets to deal with that.
Very interesting. And actually, in the news today, there is the first cat bond with a carbon offset embedded in it, in the transaction features. So, and that's come out of Bermuda, which is great to see.
So. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
So embracing ESG is not always going to be easy, and it's going to be very complex, as you've just laid out, with all these regulatory issues in there as well. And it's often hard to know where to start. So what kind of questions and requests for support do you get from insurers, reinsurers, and also ILS players in Bermuda?
Yeah. So obviously there's a lot of questions about the BMA's guidance note, because it's 15 pages and it covers all commercial insurers from, you know, the smallest, most straightforward class 3A to the largest multinational class 4. But it is a standard of proportionality. The BMA understands that. So just having discussions with our clients on what that means and how they can reflect it, how formal it needs to be, and that kind of thing. I also think when you think the difference between property cat and life, which Bermuda is getting to be more well known for, the whole concept of that is much more sort of difficult to get your head around, I think, in the life insurance space. So that's been interesting as well. And then moving away from that, I think we are talking to our clients a lot about governance. So is your governance structure, is your board, are they ready to take on, you know, evaluating and navigating these risks with the company? Are they appropriately trained? Do they understand them? That kind of thing. And then working with companies on what is their strategy going to be, because what makes sense for one company may not make sense for another. You want to be differentiated and that kind of thing. So we can work with ESG strategy and then building on that to, you know, these disclosure requirements and measurements and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to do by the sounds of it. So perhaps to close, you could talk a little bit about your vision, given that you've been sort of embracing this this topic for a few years now. How do you think the Bermuda insurance and reinsurance markets can become a leader on ESG matters?
I was walking down Front Street the other day, and there's a t-shirt in one of the windows that says Bermuda risk takers and thrill seekers. And I thought that was a great one from a risk taker perspective, because I think in the insurance industry, we all understand that Bermuda is here to take risk. And looking back on Hurricane Ian, Bermuda provided, 25% cover for 25% of those losses. So for me, I'm very hopeful that, the Bermuda reinsurance market can once again sort of step up to the plate and be a leader in this topic. Again, I think it's interesting that it can be done on both sides of the balance sheet. So on the underwriting side, like you said, there's already some creative products being developed, and I'd like to see more of that. How can the risk be pooled? How can we help those in the most vulnerable, perhaps least economically viable areas of the world who are going to suffer the most from the risks? And how can we create products and sharing risk with those folks? And then on the investment side of things, insurers obviously have massive investment portfolios at their disposal. And can they be supporting the startups with the technology ideas that will be the things we need to transition to a low carbon economy in the future?
Yeah, I think that's a really great point as well, because the both the risk and the investment side really play into developing technologies and new business models that are going to help here as well. Thank you, Marissa. That was really interesting, and I appreciate you sharing your insights into the subject of ESG and also explaining some of the issues that market participants are going to need to consider as they embrace it from within their own businesses. It sounds like there's a lot of work to do, but it's going to be a fascinating journey.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks, Marissa. Nice to talk to you today.